Roddy's in Jacksonville.
What up, Rod?
Hey, gentlemen. I had to play a little Kendrick Lamar there, a little humble. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had bouncing back. I expected Georgia to bounce back against Texas. I didn't think it would go quite as well as it did. But the Dogs need to stay humble this week. I mean, every rat poison thing that you could ever imagine has been out there. People asking Kirby out to his seniors winning 4 games in a row over Florida for the first time in forever. Arya Smith saying it's personal for me. Lawson Lucky saying I can't wait to play those guys. I'm on the Florida website, our First and 10 Gators, part of the Rivals Network. I'm looking at their score predictions from their fans. I'm on page 2, and I haven't seen anybody predict the Gators winning this. It just looks like it should be an absolute blowout. And I'm like, that's not what this game's all about. This is Georgia, Florida. Weird stuff happens here. Y'all stop. Somebody stay humble and just do what you're supposed to do and don't get crazy.
It's crazy, Rob, because we've had you on, especially during this run, this dominant run of Georgia. And Friday, you're our guy. And you say this every single damn time. It's Florida week. Roddy, if Georgia should beat the hell out of this team. If they play the way they're supposed to play. I know it's a rivalry game and everything like that. And I'm not saying, oh, they learned anything from the Texas win and all those different things, Rob. But I think, because Andy made a great point when he got you on. They're saying Florida's playing better. Better from compared to what? Better than who? And so I just look at it as a standpoint where if they play clean, this should not be a game at all.
No, it should. I agree 100%. I put my prediction was 31-17. Georgia wins comfortably by 2 touchdowns. That's exactly how it should go down. But it's not exactly how it works. I mean, even last season when they were worse. They were worse. You had that first half where you're like, oh, what's going on? They just went down the score.
That's true.
This game's tight.
That's true.
So my whole point is I started coming to this game in 1990 as a student. I've been here 34 times. Stupid stuff happens. So, yes, I am a beaten dog in this rivalry because I have had so many drives from Jacksonville back to Athens, avoiding ESPN Sports Center, avoiding any talk radio. Because, you know, Mark Richt, Jim Donnan, everybody had lost to Steve Spurrier. Ron Zook beat you. You know, the Booker. So, again, but people know I'm trying to be an objective reporter, but I have scars from this Georgia-Florida game. So, when you say, are they playing better? They got a good offensive line, they got a huge running back, and they got a very good quarterback. He's very young. He makes crazy throws. He's averaging 20 yards a completion.
Damn.
That's nuts. He throws the ball downfield. And what happens when you throw the ball downfield on Georgia? You either get a pass interference call or defensive holding. So you get 15 yards no matter what happens, or they catch it. So, again, this should not be a competition. That's why I picked the song Humble. Just don't think you can throw your helmets out there and play the game as to what should happen. Play it with the hunger that you did against Clemson. Play it with the hunger that you did against Texas. Don't play it with the laissez-faire attitude that you did against Kentucky and Mississippi State when you just, again, you know you're supposed to win, and you almost lost to Kentucky, and you let a terrible Mississippi State put up 31 points on you.
Right.
Does that almost feel like an underrated part of the Kirby Smart story in his time at Georgia so far, is what he's done to these rivalry games? Like, obviously we talk about the national championships and the winning at a high level and the recruiting and all that stuff, but like, it's every year, like Randy just said, whether it's this one or it's the Tech game or it's Auburn or whatever, like it's gotten to the point where it's a rivalry because it's a rivalry, but the game itself is just, it feels so different than it used to. Like, Kirby deserves a lot of credit for that.
He does. And I actually the reason I'm down here early is I gave a speech to the Jacksonville Bulldog Club last night, and I got up in front of them and said, hey, your team's not as good as they were last year. You're not better at a lot of your positions, but you're still the number 2 team of the nation. And there's not a team out there that Georgia should fear. They can beat anybody. They can win the national title this year, although they're not better than they were 2 years ago. But Kirby, even in I don't even call it a down year, a non generational year, is still far better. And I said, this is the golden age. If you remember a few weeks ago, everybody and their brother was furious that they only beat Auburn by 18 points. They were mad about that, guys. They were mad. I can't believe we only beat them by 18. It's Auburn. Kirby Smart is 8-1 against Auburn. 8-1. That's insane. He's 7-1 against Tennessee. He's 7-1 against Tech. He's 6-2 against Florida. About to be 7-2. He is. These are rivalries in name only, or historically.
Yep.
But what he has done, 52-3 his last 55 games. This is the golden age, and I think we get so caught up in the weeds and Carson Beck or driving arrest and stuff like that, we forget to look around and say, man, yeah, if you're a Georgia fan, you got it good. This is as good as it gets. And I can guarantee it, 5-10 years, if I'm still on with you guys, we'll be like, boy, you remember when that game was never in question because Kirby would just beat the crap out of him and you just didn't have to worry about Tennessee or Florida or Auburn or Tech? So let's enjoy it while we got it, boys.
Rod, who's playing that? That's probably we don't know. Questionable. I know I saw Tate Riley. We're seeing some things that he's probably going to play, like Smile Mundon. We already know about the guys who are who can't play because the first half because of this the targeting suspension, whatever you call it. But who's going to be up this week?
Well, to me, getting Tate Riley back is going to be huge. You haven't had him for so long, and I mean, I feel bad because that guy missed the entire 2021 season. You remember he was a starter against Clemson. It just gets hurt early. And he's missed a lot of this year, but Tate is kind of the heart and soul of that offense. He's your Cedric Van Pran leader from last year. Getting him back on that offensive line will be great. It just allows them to really set up the running game. I'd like to see Mike run it this week. It would make me a lot happier to keep Lagway on the sideline and just pound these guys into the dirt with your best blockers. But I also want to see getting Mykael Williams back. You saw him getting Mykael Williams and Warren Brinson back from Texas. What happened? And it just frees Jalen Walker. Just let him cook, man. That cat can cook when you got a double team Warren Brinson on the inside or Nazir Stackhouse, or you got Mykael Williams coming off the edge. Mykael gets back for the first time. I mean, he played, 9 snaps the week prior. He gets in there for 38 snaps, and you just see what the difference is. So,
right.
I want to see that same capability from Jordan Hull, the 5-star defensive lineman who would play his first game this tomorrow. If Jordan Hull gets in there and you can rotate him with Nazir Stackhouse and Mykael Williams and Jalen Walker, it makes it so much easier for the secondary that we were just kind of banging on earlier. When you can get pressure on the quarterback with a 4-man rush, you don't have to bring extra guys, and you get to him and you affect him, you get him off the spot, and you can actually sit back and have somebody spy a running quarterback. It's just a completely different look to this defense when those guys are healthy. So getting Jordan Hull back, Mykael Williams getting healthier than he was even 2 weeks ago, Warren Brinson being healthier back, you got to be very excited about this Georgia defense.
Yeah, Roddy, we didn't talk last week because of the bye, so we haven't talked since that Texas win. Obviously, it's almost 2 weeks in the rear view now, but we're still thinking about it, of course. What do you feel like that game taught you or made you rethink about this Georgia team that you didn't think about them beforehand?
Well, we kept saying they haven't played their best game. They haven't played their best game. Sometimes they play a great half, but, that just wasn't enough. And we had seen flashes, a flash here, a flash there, of what they could be. And a few weeks ago, I said, look, where are they better position-wise than they were the year before? And the only one I could come up with is running back. That was about it. Everywhere else, they're good, but they're not better than they were. You lost Ladd McConkey. You lost Cedric Van Pran. You lost Brock Bowers. You lost 3 of your 5 starters in the defensive secondary. You're not better at cornerback. You're not better at safety. You're not better on the defensive line because all those guys are injured. But we see flashes. That second half against Alabama, even though the first half was so bad, that second half was amazing. You're like, they can play like this? This is nuts. But they never did it. Then we saw them put it together against Texas. You're like, okay, now it's coming together. That's despite the fact your quarterback threw 3 interceptions and had no touchdowns. Imagine if he actually had a good game, how that blowout would have been in Texas against the #1 team on the road. I'm just thinking what it taught me in a long-winded answer to your question is that the flashes that we've seen are more true to form. They're not flukes. They're not accidents.
Yeah.
That is who they can be. And I would just like to see them do that tomorrow against Ole Miss, against Tennessee, against whoever they get in the playoffs. Because if they play to their capability, they're unstoppable. But they can also get down by 28 and lose a game.
That's so true.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's the widest spectrum we've seen in terms of what they're capable of from a Georgia team the last 5 years or so, that's for sure. Hey, Roddy, enjoy your time down there. Enjoy the game.
Appreciate you, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com, getting ready for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party tomorrow, which –